Morning, everybody. This is News Radio 94.9 890 KDXU. It's Wednesday and time for Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
This is Elder Care Radio, and we are excited to be here. I'm Richard, and this is Kaylee, and we are with Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care, and this is yet another fabulous Wellness Wednesday. It's exciting to be here. How are you doing, Andy?
Good. Let's get your mic up a little closer to your mouth there. So
okay.
You don't have it. Oh, much better. Much better.
All right. Is that good?
Yeah.
All right. So we've last week we talked a little bit about...
Well, you gave him a challenge.
I did. I didn't want to put in those words. I gave you a challenge.
Uh-oh.
And that was to choose a mortuary.
Yeah.
Andy, did you choose a mortuary?
I know. Hard conversation to have, but you have to get started. You do have to do that. It'll make it easier on your
I actually
life.
Talked to my wife about it, and she's like, well, we have funeral plots already. Do we have to pick a mortuary now? And then we tabled it and started talking about our teenage daughter and never got around, back around to it. So I apologize. I did not choose one.
Okay. So your wife's question is a good one. Do I need to pick a mortuary? Well, so in our position in hospice, certainly this is one of those common questions. And that's really the very first thing that happens is we as a hospice have to, know which mortuary you're going to use so that when that time comes, we can make that call. After that, there's some time, once we've taken care of that, then if nothing's been done, and this happens often, and this is part of the reason we're encouraging people, is that if they don't make any decisions, and it is a decision that's handed off to somebody else who isn't prepared to make it, they're going to, choose anything they choose. And let me just say that when it comes to mortuaries, I don't think there are any wrong options. In Southern Utah, we don't have any bad mortuaries. There was one in Georgia that didn't do their job.
That was bad.
That was a long ways away, and it has nothing to do with here. Every mortuary here is great. We know all of them. You can't make a bad decision. But that's the first question that has to be answered is who's going to, take on this process?
Right now, many of you might be thinking, well, it's not relevant to me right now. We might be speaking with the grandchildren of some of our patients. We don't know. But you're thinking, I'll plan this in the future. But there's a reason that you should have in your mind just today and discuss it with your loved ones. First of all, it's a really difficult conversation to have or consideration to be made for your family, barring any events that might come up unexpectedly, right? But there's a lot of changes in people's mindset today. We've kind of touched on this a little bit before, but, once you pick mortuary, then the conversation starts on, do I want cremation? Do I want a burial? Do I understand that in Utah, believe it or not, you could actually have the wake in your home. You could, there's so many questions. And with COVID, things have kind of changed a lot in every industry. You can do Zoom memorials. You can forego memorial altogether. Believe it or not, a lot of people choose not to have the big event and the formal eulogy and the rest of it. And the truth is, it's for your loved ones to be left with, to make all of those decisions, if you don't have the conversation. And isn't it better to have the conversation before it's really pending or imminent? Because it just makes the decision process easier. Your loved ones know.
And for those of you who are listening right now and thinking, this is the massive amount of decision making I'm not ready to do for whatever reason, because, we just have fear. We, have other things that we feel are more important for the moment. Those are all decisions that can be made later. But really, it's just that first one. At that moment, no matter what happens, if it's traffic accident, if it's, somebody passing away in their home, that's the question that's going to be asked. What mortuary? And so choose one. And you're not making a financial commitment. I'm not suggesting you need to go and talk to them and have them sell you everything. Just pick a name and write it down. They don't even need to know you chose them. And you can always change that. This is not a commitment. You can, as soon as you get new information that says, yes, this one is better, then you can make that change. What we're hoping we can do is just get people to step off the bubble, so to speak, move in some direction of an extremely small step. Just that one step off of, I don't know anything about this, to, well, I have the intent to find out. And that's really the the only goal here today is to get people to just say, okay, I can commit. Like I said last week, there are 11 mortuaries in southern Utah. And so in Cedar City, which we serve, there aren't as many choices if you're planning on doing it there. Hurricane has a couple. St. George has, you know, a number. And so it's just choose one, and you can use any reason you want to choose it. You can say it's because of budget. You can say it's because the building they're in, because you've had other people who've used them and it was great.
I have a friend there.
Yeah. I have a friend who works there. It doesn't matter. Any of those reasons are good enough to make that commitment.
Yes. It doesn't have to be a formal conversation. That's mm-hmm. not where I was trying to go with it. I'm trying to say just a really easy, fleeting comment about, hey, pending anything ever happens to me, I like this mortuary, and be done with it and go on with your day. But it's that first step that starts conversations and starts to plant little seeds in people's minds about, huh, what do I want? Where do I want to go with this? So it's not the planning as much as the consideration in your mind when you're driving down the street today. Those are things that do have to, at some point, decisions that have to be made.
And if that decision's made, then the next decisions, we have a little bit of time. You know, how do we want the funeral to go, or if there's going to be a funeral? And maybe the family should be the one to make that decision, because they're the ones who are really going to be, you know,
left.
They're the ones who are going to be left and are participating. So if they make those decisions, that's fine. And every mortuary can provide care at, you know, in a number of different facilities, or some of them have their own. So we at least have a couple of days, a few days to work through the rest of those issues if we haven't done that in the past, but at least we've gotten the needs to be decided in an hour decision. And that's all we're looking for is the decision that needs to be made within an hour. Go ahead and make that early so that, you know, you can relieve your family of that responsibility and give them a starting point.
I think I know why it's so hard, Richard. I think that people, if you pick a mortuary, you are acknowledging your mortality. You're mm-hmm. acknowledging that you may in fact actually pass away. It's kind of like shopping for insurance. If you shop for insurance, I'm going to get one with a low deductible because I'm acknowledging I'm going to get into a crash. We don't want to do that, I think.
Right. And I'm not an insurance guy. And certainly I would argue against insurance in some cases. I'm not saying never. I don't think we can ignore the fact that we will be passing away.
We can't really have an opinion about whether or not we are born or are going to die.
Yeah, well,
like, it's just kind of part of it. So
death and taxes, right?
Yeah, that's it. So if you can just kind of acknowledge, you know, in the smallest of step or fleeting comment that this is a decision I've made, it just plants those seeds of thought and contemplation. And I think the reason why this is so important to us is you have no idea how many people who really are in critical crisis mode haven't made those decisions, and it's absolutely overwhelming at that time. It would have been much, much better had the conversation or the thought or consideration been made 10 years prior, so that it just wasn't one more burden on somebody. Mm-hmm.
But I would also like to think that, you know, for our listening audience, all of you who are listening now, you've chosen to listen, and we're having a fairly mature conversation. You wouldn't be listening to this if you were, you know, if you weren't having that mature thought. And so with that, you know, I hope we can get people to just say, okay, I'll make that one step. I realize that this is an inevitable event, and I might as well prepare for it. So I really hope that people do. We don't have any ties to any of the mortuaries here. We're not trying to increase the industry or anything. These are just from the hospice side, from the palliative care side, these are issues that we know exist, and we'd like to help resolve that for people. And I think once people make that first decision, say, okay, well, I'll choose a mortuary, then it's a little easier to maybe consider some of those other aspects of it and maybe get involved in. And not that you're obligated to, not that we're pushing you down a road that you don't want to go. Just take that one step and say, at least I've accomplished this. So we don't want to beat that to death today, but we hope we get that across.
And So then we'll move on to the next.
Yeah, let's move on.
So hopefully our listeners already know who we are. Maybe not. So I'll just mention it briefly. So the whole reason we started this business was because we had a good palliative experience and then could not find the palliative experience. So in we used to live in Las Vegas. And when my mom came to live with us, for my parents, both of them came to live with us, we reached out and found a palliative company that was absolutely incredible. It was a hospice and palliative care company, and they were just so helpful and full of information and resources. And later, as our family grew and my dad needed assistance, we decided to move to St. George and could not find the same program. So we decided to open this business where, in this community, where more than 25% of our community are seniors, bring the resources and services available to make your life a little easier and to lighten those burdens and difficulties as we age. So whether you're a grandchild and thinking, oh, I have grandparents that could use some resources, or a son or daughter that says, oh, my mom or dad could use some help in their home, or, you know, you're making plans for your future, know that there are a lot of services nationally and on a state level that can really make your life a lot better, increase your quality of life. And so we're here just to kind of help you navigate the system and find those programs that are available. That is why today we're talking about, and I don't know how much we're going to get through because this is kind of a big topic, but Medicare. Do all of us realize, and we probably don't if we're not facing Medicare in the next, you know, 5 years, but with Medicare, there's a Part A, Part B, Part D, and they all carry different coverages. They also come with different costs. So heading into retirement brings a slew of new topics to grapple with, and one of the most maddening might be Medicare. Figuring out when to enroll in Medicare and which parts to enroll in can be daunting for the savviest of retirees. There is Medicare Part A, Part B, Part D, Medigap plans, Medicare Advantage plans, and so on and so on and so on. And what the heck is a donut hole anyway? To help us wade through the waters of this complicated federal health insurance program for retirement age Americans, we decided that we'd talk a little bit about these programs, and we'll only be able to touch on it for, you know, minimally here today. But if you have any questions, know that our telephones are always open. We can help you answer those questions. There's some really, really important things that you need to understand well in advance of hitting retirement age. So we just thought that we'd broach that topic with you.
And we really wanted to take this from a different perspective. I think most everybody who has had any conversations about Medicare and all the plans that are available are talking to a salesman. They're talking to somebody who is trying to convince them of, you know, for paying for services. And so we're just going to take kind of the other side of that. We're just going to break this down without any financial purpose for ourselves. We're not, you know, we don't get any benefit out of this. So we don't have an agenda. But we want to give people kind of a clearer picture. I know that if I'm in a conversation and I don't know any of the foundational information, my eyes glaze over and I can't even, you know, get started on understanding what goes on. But if I have kind of a functional playbook to start with, then I can start getting information out of it. So what we hope is we'll just give you a foundation. As Kaylee mentioned, there are three major parts to this, Part A, Part B, and Part D. So we'll break that down just a little bit. Part A is your hospital and hospice and those kind of things. So we're going to call that your critical care. Okay. So your critical care is covered by Part A, while your doctor scheduling and things like that are covered by Part B. So that's your HMO section, if we use that phrase. And then we've got Part D, which is your medications. So let's just start with those three, and then at another time we may come up with more.
So I think it's important for everyone to remember there's, and we'll touch on this a little bit more. So very important to understand that there are time frames of when you can file for Medicare, but they say it's optional and it almost is not. If you don't file within a timely period, you will be penalized. You will pay penalties. But we need to understand Medicare comes with a cost. There is a cost to Medicare, and a lot of people don't realize that.
So we want to go through that. But the penalties, if you don't file properly within a certain time frame, then it's a penalty you'll pay every year for the rest of your life. So you really need to know what your options are and how to go about this. Okay, so Medicare Part A. In that one, that is given to you, and there are no fees attached to it. Part A, that's your hospital part of that. And if the only thing you ever did was go to the hospital because you didn't use doctors or anything else, and you only had a Part A program, then you wouldn't have any out-of-pocket costs. However, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't also understand the Part B part. Here's the deal. This is where the penalty comes in. Now, you can postpone your Part B if you have provable insurance that's acceptable. So if you're already in the insurance system and you're paying for this healthcare policy, then you could postpone your Medicare Part B for up to 2 years, which if you're still employed and you have a program, then you cannot have to pay that for the first 2 years.
Or if your retirement covers insurance, then you can prove that you already have insurance and Medicare won't require for you to file for that.
Right.
You do have to file for the exception, but
that's right.
You don't have to also carry Medicare.
Right. So you don't have to have that Part B if you have insurance. Now, if you just are healthy and you say, well, I don't really need insurance, that's where that penalty comes in, because the insurance part of this wants everybody to be paying whether you need it or not. So if you're paying for a different policy, fine, but you have to pay for a policy. So if you aren't insured, then it is important for you to look at and probably decide to sign up for a Part B.
Can I just interject that the ugly truth is that we've been paying into this insurance policy since we started working at, 15, 16 years old.
First dollar. Right. That's right.
So we've been paying into this program. And then, sadly, you are still going to continue to pay at least a nominal amount after you retire. And it's not optional. Like taxes, it has been decided that it's not optional. So unless you have other insurance.
Right.
So let's understand that reality and then just deal with it and make the best decisions for ourselves.
So the Part A, again, there's no cost. That's free to you because that was what we were paying into every day that we worked, every hour that we worked. We were paying this and our employer paid half. We paid half. So that part of it is covered. And that's our founding fathers had, set up this program where even people who couldn't pay for hospital care would get it through the counties. And so that's all part of this Part A section. The Part B, which is where we can manage our costs of health care outside of the hospitals, where we can pay for doctor's visits up front. The question you really need to ask yourself is, how healthy am I? What do I need on this insurance, to really get by? Because I think we've all come to the realization that while the insurance company has kind of set up this program of very expensive health care, if you don't have insurance, there are ways to bypass that and not pay those super high insurance advertised rates for much of our care.
And remember, since you can choose different coverage every year, you can change your Medicare policies, you should probably plan on that. If you're talking to, I hate to say this, I'm not trying to trash the insurance agents at all, but clearly, if you're with an insurance agent, they are probably going to say, plan for your future. There's a number of reasons. First of all, they do want you to plan for the unknown in the future, but it is also a sales point for them, right? If you've already got the best coverage in the future, you won't try and change the plan, so you won't potentially change agents. But the reality is that means that you're probably paying way too much in the beginning. If you're healthy, you should probably plan on saying the least expensive while you're healthy, and we will plan to change in the future. The other part of having an intent to change in the future, Medicare plans are changing every year. So what you sign up for today might have different benefits in the future. So, don't try and plan for 20 years from now and start paying for the most expensive plan at age of 65 that you'll need in 20 years.
Right. This applies specifically to Part D, because Part D is a variable that we can choose, and that's our medications. We can choose a plan that covers everything we could possibly ever need. We can choose a plan that covers almost nothing. The question you have to ask is, how much are we really spending? And this is an annual decision. on Part D. So if you feel that you're pretty healthy and you're not using a lot of medications, then I don't know that it makes sense paying $30 a month for a medication plan if you're not going to use that for the next 12 months. If you are, then that would make sense. Then, so Part D, and then there's the Medicare Advantage program, which is an insurance kind of over the top of that. And Medicare Advantage will tell you you don't have to pay for the Part D or, you know, the Part A, the Part B, but they just include that in their premium. And so that's a kind of a third party insurance that companies can provide. And when you see people on the television and the radio and you know, Jimmy J.J. Walker is the latest one that I've seen encouraging people to.
And Joe Namath. Don't forget Joe Namath.
Yeah, Joe Namath has been around a long time doing that. You know, those guys, they are trying to encourage you to spend money on things you may not use and probably things you don't even know that you have available. And that's what we've realized. For those people who have a Medicare Advantage plan, if you really don't know all the features of that plan, you can't use it and put it to good use. So if you're considering Medicare Advantage, you should really look at what it is. And one of the specifics that we found is that you can get free travel coverage for trips to the doctor.
Yeah, so you right.
Can, yeah, and that's a Medicare Advantage option. But if you're not using it, then you're losing the real benefit to have somebody chauffeur you to your doctor's appointment or to the grocery store to get prescriptions. And we've talked about that in the past. But those are the kind of things. If you're not taking advantage of it, you're not really accomplishing it. So there's so much more in this, but we really want you to know that of those first three parts in Medicare Advantage, if you have a basic understanding of those, then I think you can be a little more engaged in a conversation about them and have better questions to ask. So for Part D, that's a variable. You could pay more or less for that. Medicare Advantage or some of these other insurances that are available, you really need to know what you're buying and whether it's worth it. So in these last couple of minutes, we wanted...
I guess what we should say is, please, if you're looking for some direction, you need to understand that Medicare is very... it's dynamic, but if you're not taking advantage, you're probably paying too much. If you're trying to cut costs and expenses, make sure that you have the coverage that is best for you. So do have an intent of changing it regularly. Please feel free to give our office a call and we'll try and help you and give you some direction on that. We do have a lot more information regarding Medicare, but we also need to go over this wonderful event that we're having.
Yes, this coming Tuesday on the 14th, we are going to be at the Catholic Church having an event and talking about palliative care. Their program, the Stephen Ministry, is all about serving people in this community and helping those in real need. And we're working with them to educate the community, to show what options are available and what resources can be there. And so we'd really like to invite you there. It's 6:30 on Tuesday night. If you don't already have plans, or even if you do, we'd like to see you.
Doors open at 6, and I know right now you're thinking, oh, I don't want to go to that. Trust me, you want to go. Not only is it going to be informational, and we're not going to drag it out and make it, you know, a miserable experience. You can bring your friends to come with you. You can come and meet new friends. We're going to play some games. There'll be some gifts and prizes, and we're going to just really try and help educate the community on some of the resources that are available. And you will be surprised at what you don't know. So please make put that on your calendar. Mark that date. It's next Tuesday, 6:30 at the Catholic Church, 259 West 200 North. It's just down the street from the Senior Center. Mm-hmm. If you want additional information on that, how do they reach us, Richard?
Well, you could try that most easy phone number in the world to remember, and that is local area code 435 and then 477-6999. We would love to have your calls. We'd love to know if you're coming. Even if you can't tell us you're coming and show up, we'd love to see you there. We look forward to it. This was a short show for us.
435-477-6999. Look forward to hearing from you.